16 dead in military plane crash.
The aircraft caught fire and spun as it fell.
U.S. soldier arrested on terror charges.
Kang made a loyalty pledge to ISIS.
Email to President Trump's son.
Offering Russian government help.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, at least 16 people were killed in the crash of a military plane that's used for refueling. It ended up in a field in rural Mississippi. CBS's David Begno is at the scene, 85 miles north of Jackson.
At 20,000 feet, it suffered a catastrophic failure, plunging out of the sky. As it started to fall, the plane went radio silent. The KC-130 can be used to refuel other planes in midair and often carries additional fuel as a result. Plumes of thick black smoke could be seen for miles.
It's just scary. It's just scary because after I've seen all the black smoke, it's just something, you know, it's horrifying.
Parts of this plane are still largely intact, and that, from aviation experts, they have told us that would indicate that an explosion is highly unlikely in terms of what brought this plane down.
Well, now to Hawaii, where a decorated military man is under arrest on terror charges. CBS's Jeff Pagaz has more on 34-year-old Army Sergeant First Class Ikeka Kang.
Court papers describe how Kang handed over 18 secret-level military documents to undercover agents that he believed could help ISIS. On Saturday, before his arrest, he pledged allegiance to the Islamic State and made combat training videos that he believed would be shown to ISIS fighters.
Kang's father, Clifford, says his son converted to Islam after his two overseas deployments.
He told me he was with the Muslim faith now. I'm a Catholic, so I figured, well, you know, that's all right. From time to time, when he did live here, He would teach me the Quran.
And Kang's attorney accuses the Army of neglecting mental health issues stemming from his service. A pipe bomb went off last night outside an Air Force recruiting center near Tulsa, Oklahoma. The office was closed at the time. Nobody was hurt. It's being investigated as a possible act of domestic terrorism. An email reveals Donald Trump Jr. was told about Moscow's effort to boost his father before he and others in the campaign met with a Russian lawyer. We're live this morning at the White House with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Well, this email reported by the New York Times has an intermediary who set up the meeting saying a Russian lawyer had information on Hillary Clinton as part of a government effort to aid the Trump candidacy. Ethics lawyer Richard Painter worked in the White House of George W. Bush.
If the facts relayed in the New York Times article are true, and if Donald Trump Jr. knew that the Russians were going to give him information that they had obtained about Hillary Clinton illegally, which is how the Russians obtain such information about American citizens, I think he's in very serious trouble.
Donald Trump Jr. has retained a lawyer who calls all this much ado about nothing. Here at the White House, spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
The only thing I see inappropriate about the meeting was the people that leaked the information.
The Russian lawyer who requested the meeting, Natalia Veselnitskaya, says Trump Jr. and other top campaign aides were looking for dirt on Clinton. She tells NBC they wanted it so badly. Steve?
Now to California and the latest on the wildfires that have forced thousands of people to evacuate their homes. 3,500 are still out of their homes in the Santa Barbara area thanks to a pair of fires. But fire official Amber Anderson says crews have made some progress.
We saw a little bit of growth, but it was relatively insignificant. And a lot of that was just firefighters strengthening our lines and holding tight to increase our containment.
The larger of the fires, now 20% contained. Some evacuees have returned home in Northern California. California, where a fire has destroyed 35 buildings. In a Pennsylvania court, text messages are telling some of the story in the case against frat members and the death of a Penn State pledge last February. CBS's Jerika Duncan is covering.
Chapter President Brendan Young texted his girlfriend after Timothy Piazza was taken to the hospital. He looked expletive dead. Pledge Master Daniel Casey texted his girlfriend to say, "We are expletive, like beyond expletive." In another message, Young says to Casey, make sure the pledges clean the basement and get rid of any evidence of alcohol.
It's a tale of two cities as international Olympic officials are meeting today in Switzerland, Los Angeles, and Paris, presenting glitzy plans to host the Summer Games in 2024. Casey Wasserman is head of the LA effort.
LA 2024 is offering a city ready to go, where almost 80% of us want the games back.
Los Angeles hosted in 1932 and 1984. It's likely one city will be picked to host in 2024. The other will get the 2028 games. How about an extra cup of coffee today? Why not drink up? Afterward, the two new studies suggest that drinking coffee could help people live longer. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
It followed about 185,000 ethnically diverse people over 16 years. So that's a big study. And they found that compared with drinking no coffee, people drinking one cup daily had a 12% lower risk of dying, and those drinking 2 to 3 cups had an 18% lower risk of dying over those 16 years.
Well, if a friend reaches out to you on social media with an offer that sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Here's CBS's Vicki Barker.
For Shelley Drummond, that long-lost friend seemingly surfaced on Facebook.
I was on Messenger, and my friend's name came up.
The friend, Deborah Boyd, was quick to share some great news. If Drummond just filled out a form and wired $1,500 in fees, Drummond, too, could answer her doorbell to couriers bringing $100,000 in grants. Can you guess what happened next?
They never came.
So Drummond finally tracked down Deborah Boyd on the phone.
I said, Shelley, it was wasn't me. You got scammed.
They're basically capturing that trust you have in this person and using it for their own gain.
Emma Fletcher of the Better Business Bureau says the hackers exploit victims' trust in their Facebook friends, not realizing the friends have been hacked. CBS News traced the scammers to an IP address in Nigeria. Facebook says it has systems in place to prevent these scams, but Deborah Boyd says her hacked page is still up there.
These people should not still be contacting my friends. This is, what, 6 months later, 9 months later? Come on.
Vicki Barker, CBS News.
A rookie was the big smash at the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby last night on ESPN.
Aaron Judge, your 2017 Home Run Derby champion.
Judge is an outfielder with the New York Yankees. He's got 30 home runs already this season. Senate Republican leaders are talking about holding a vote next week on their health care bill. A revised version of it could be out before the end of this week. A minister has hit the road to make a point about health care.
James Brigman is walking hundreds of miles across North Carolina and Virginia, heading to Washington, D.C., with a simple message for lawmakers debating complex health care legislation.
Everybody deserves health care. That's what made our country great. It is taking care of each other. And we need to continue to take care of each other.
The Rockingham, North Carolina pastor is bringing along his severely disabled 9-year-old daughter. He fears she could die if Congress cuts health care. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, Pope Francis has added a fourth path to sainthood, the first change in centuries. It allows for those who lived a good Catholic life and freely accepted a certain and premature death for the good of others. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.